1 John chapter 3. I've tagged this one, the greatest news ever told. Ever. Like ever. Two short verses this morning. See the words with your own eyes. Hear them with your own ears. Words given through the Apostle John to us. Chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. When He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. As Jesus prepared His disciples for His leaving, He told them, in this world you will have tribulation. If you were of the world would love you. But because I called you out of this world, the world hates you. Hardship, suffering, ostracism, and many other painful things are indeed part of the faithful Christian's life. And as Carol mentioned, just this week, we heard of a young boy student from Nigeria whose father was killed back home for his faith. Hard realities indeed. And in the year 2021, we understand Antichrist and their messaging plays a game via temptation to eager ears. And they can indeed be our ears as well. That somehow we as God's people can avoid all of this. The occasional lonely road, the narrow road, and the struggle and pain that can be part of the life of the faithful Christian. And so it's important as we begin this morning, if you're going to tag one, the greatest news ever told. And first and foremost, I'm glad that it's not my originated news, but I'm a communicator of God's word in this way. That it's important that we get the right truth laid, the right theology laid, and that we force it into our worlds. See, the right theology minus forcing it into the world in which we inhabit is little more than academia. It's often said the most difficult 18 inches is from the brain to the heart. But how we must force it into our heart this morning. John has been diligently pointing us back to the gospel for two chapters at this point. And of course, we know the gospel means good news, and it's the gospel of Jesus that we lay hold to. And His coming to earth as a God-man to forgive us of our sins, all who believe. We say these things as a church, that we have inherited this thing called the sin gene, and that we break God's just law. Hopefully less and less over time, but we still break His law. And the punishment for that breaking of the law is indeed, the Apostle Paul says, death. more harshly than death? An eternity spent away from God. Yet there is good news, the gospel that we share, and it's found and wrapped and summarized in the work and indeed the body of Jesus Christ. Because of His love for me and His love for you, you can be forgiven. These things we say as a church. Easy to say, hard to get into our heart. And His cross, intended for the worst of society, became the gateway for our freedom. John has said He's propitiated for our sins. Big word, sufficiently atoned for, made right with the Father, the way that my imperfection could be made perfect in the Father's eyes. And so these things we say with great hope and expectation, they're true. And in light of such, the Apostle Paul reminds, and I remind with his words. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that we preach to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. These indeed are days which require the Christian to increasingly take stands. And if you've professed this faith in Christ, and I hope that you have, Paul says, according to the Scriptures, you're saved. You're saved. You're secure. And like me, you await with great hope the promise of eternal life one day. But here's the thing. You shall never be more saved than at that first moment. And by the way, you shall never be less saved than at that first moment. Ever. No matter the world that we inhabit, no matter how shaky you feel, no matter how you doubt your faith some days, you shall never be less saved. According to the Scriptures, you're saved. And so we're not at all ashamed of Christ and His good news here. And we say, all Him, not us. But that doesn't mean that our days are easy breezy. No sirree, Bob. Many are difficult, spent pounding in our head with messages that seek to lead us off. And it's on the heels of all of this that the Apostle John can no longer hold it in. And he turns to the greatest news ever told. This morning, in these short verses, two truths come cascading. They are glacial in magnitude. Imagine the moment. You're gathered among God's people. John's letter is being read to you. The people hear about the world and not loving the world and the things of the world. And they hear about this group of people that have come from them and seek now to entangle them in that world. And that John tells the people, and I tell you that these people would cede in an attempt your fall. And we must be sure what we believe, and we must be vigilant on what we believe, and we must hang on tight. And then the apostle says, see what kind of love the Father has given you, that you should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. Two glacial truths. The greatest news ever told, if you will only lay hold to them. And lay hold of them you must, but it is a choice. Number one, I am loved by God. You, Audubon Baptist Church are loved by God. You're loved by God. Now, for some of you, that's almost an impossible thought that God of all creation would love you. Even the word twists us up. When I say the word love, your mind and your emotions kick into overdrive, some of you. For some, I potentially have lost you for the rest of the sermon. Your mind has left the sanctuary and it is drifting away towards Mr. Wonderful or Miss Wonderful. And stop. Stop. Love is indeed a tricky thing, is it not? The longer you're in love, the less that you think you understand love. It perplexes the mind and the soul and the spirit. And so we should get a little help from those that are most innocent among us. I've done these kind of things before. I'm drawn back to them. The simplicity of the words from the mouth of babes. Tommy, age 6, says, "Love is this way." Chisel this one down. Love is like the little old woman. Everyone looks like a little old woman when you're 6, I guess. And the little old man who are still friends, even though they know each other well. That's pretty good for Tommy. We need that one. Danny 7, and we'll get to the wisdom of the little girls here in a moment. But Danny says, "Love is when mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it's okay." Old Testament called those people cupbearers, by the way, just to make sure that we're not trying to take dad out. Elaine, age 5, "Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken." Now, I'm going to say, at some point, we're going to return to Wednesday night chicken. And there's not a lot of love going on in that line because we're all going for the best piece of chicken. Marianne, age 4. This is for the pet lovers. "Love is when my puppy licks my face even when I've left him home all day." Rebecca, 8. This one is most noteworthy to me, and this will be our final one. "When my grandma got arthritis, she couldn't bend over to paint her toenails anymore. So my grandpa does. Even though his hands now have arthritis too." See what kind of love the Father has given us. See what kind of love the Father has given us. Audubon Baptist, the Father loves you. In the original language, there's at least 4 variants, and that's the root words. They get more and more that in the Greek original language that they talk about. And one version has the special love between parent and child. Another, eros, between husband and wife, including all kinds of things between husband and wife, embracing, longing, caring for. Phileo. Recognize that word from Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's the one that we most gravitate towards, by the way. It's an affectionate love, a feeling love, an emotional love, a fondness that you have. Those kind of butterflies in the pit of the stomach. And the one that is by far the most common in God's word, agape. John uses the form of agape here. See what kind of agape the Father has given to us. Agape. It's an unconditional, sacrificial love. A love that cost. Sometimes involves emotion, but it doesn't have to involve emotion. It involves action, choice, decision. Agape. And here, John uses the perfect tense. It is active. It is always true. God loves you, Audubon, with an agape love. It's your permanent possession as His child, even on those difficult days. You were loved even before you were His child. You are loved today, and you will forever be loved by God no matter what, if you're His child. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Some people have grown up fearing a wrathful God. You probably have a friend or a neighbor or someone who had the Word of God imparted from them in harsh ways. One created in them the idea that God is always lurking around every bend in the corner, just to smack them upside the head. God smack them. God smack them upside the head. Get them back in line, back into order, as if somehow we're mere pawns in this game we don't yet understand. We can't really see. John delivers the truth. John begins, see, he says. Circle that in your Bible. See. Look for it. Make effort to find it. Study it. Pray for it. By the way, do you pray that you would see the love the Father has given to you? God might just answer that simple prayer in a way that changes your destiny. What kind of love the Father has given, and again, is giving and forever will give. See it. Can you imagine that room with the people as this letter is read? How great a news is this? That God of all the universe, we sing about His name. How majestic is Your name in all the earth. That God, the God that created it all, that orders it all, that puts it into balance and equilibrium every single day, loves you. Love is one of the most fleeting of emotions. God of it all loves you. And while there's many verses that you can go to in Scripture to pull in an attempt to approximate what God's love is really like, my favorite is this. And it's not one that you're familiar with most likely. Zephaniah 3:17. Write this down, memorize this, pray this over your heart this week. The Lord your God is in your midst, the prophet writes. A mighty one who will save. Here it comes. Listen carefully. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I might invite you to close your eyes and listen once again to the truth of God's Word. God says, I am in your midst. I am mighty. And I will save. And I will rejoice over you with gladness. I will quiet you with my love. How many of us need to be quieted? Amen. And I will exalt over you with loud singing. Now, some of you don't believe that. And I pray that you will pray that God would help you to believe that that's true of you this week. That God of all sings over you. God likes you. God delights in you. He sings over you. Without a hymnal needed. And He loves you. He agapes you. Not many feel worthy of such love. Not many of us should feel worthy of that kind of love. But One Christian music writer wants you to know, beloved, your shame can't separate. Your guilt can't separate. Your past can't separate. Your sin can't separate. Your scars can't separate. Your failures can't separate. No enemy can separate. Glory, hallelujah to the King. No power of hell can take you away. His love for you will never change. Perfect tense. God loves you. And He loves you even despite you. That's the best part. And what does He expect in return? This love, this agape love that cost Him His only Son. Well, the Son Himself says it this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now, some of you have gotten it all wrong. Love. Agape love. Some days, it has very little to do with whether or not you feel like it. This is a decision, a choice, a determination, one that will cost in the year 2021. Agape, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. The greatest news ever told, the first piece that John gives us is this, that the Father has given you and me His love. A love that costs great. How big a difference do you think it would make if more people believed that? More to the point, what kind of difference would it make for you? But God's not done yet, glory to His name. He takes it further, that we should be called children of God. Point number two, the greatest news ever told, not only that I'm loved, but that we should be called children of God. John, in his gospel, records it this way in chapter 1. To all who receive Him, who believed in His name, He gives the right to be called children of God. And so this is the second piece, that we should be called children of God. Little old you, little old me, little young you, little young me. Nope. Dan tried that last week and it didn't work so well, did it? We need to remember what it means to be a child. Now, most of us spend our childhood wanting to not be a child. And most of us, when we get older, wish that we could be a child. Malcontents that we all are. Many long for family, a place to belong, to be treasured, cherished, valued in our day and age. Statistics are harsh in this way. How many among our community live without the blessing of a family? And indeed, many, because of that, struggle with this idea of family, and especially fathers. If you're a father here, you have my utmost admiration and thanksgiving. Yet, we earthly fathers fail our children. That is part of growing up, when the child can look at their father and suddenly see that the father is failing. Even those that are good by human standards are not so good by godly standards. And sadly, there are many fathers, men in our community, that are neglectful, altogether absent from the life of their children. And these men do not accurately reflect God, but yet create a barrier to children all over the world becoming children of God. And so we say, based upon the testimony of God's Word, that God is a perfect Father. And He does not disappoint. I don't know if He shows up every time that fishing has been promised. Somehow I think it's okay. He does not abuse or shame, and He won't ever ghost you. He is present, and we can approach Him as a loving Father that the Scripture proclaims He is. And some sing, "Good, good Father." And so on our very best days, we get but a glimpse of this. Through earthly relationships of parent and child. And we'll say, one day we will see more clearly. But for now, like Sinead O'Connor sung several decades ago, nothing compares. That we should be called children of God. I want to speak frankly for a moment and urge you to consider what God does not offer. John does not communicate on behalf of God that God has offered you the position of parent to God, peer of God, really in the way that we define friend of God, BFF, in a way that you need to understand the inner workings of God. He has given you the right to become children of God through the death and resurrection of His agape love. The atonement required for your sin and for mine, the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. So some may question God and spend a lot of time in their mind questioning God because somehow we believe that we're not really just destined to be the children of God. At least make me a sibling, we think. As if somehow we can dictate to God how things should work and must happen and appease our mind and when they should happen to our great satisfaction. And I want you to know there's no wonder these relationships are strained and confusion reigns. God isn't interested in that type of disordered family. He's interested in extending to you the right to become children of God. Through His Son, His death, His resurrection, we are asked, do you want to be adopted as my child? In this sense, adoption is the normative way that you enter family. This is not an ulterior way. This is the normative way that we enter family. So many years ago when we went to extend our family through the miracle of adoption, the children were asked, do you want to be adopted? In a spiritual sense, it's normative. But here's the sad thing. There are some children as they get older that will answer no to that question. Fear and familiarity hold them back from being part of the eternal family. The same can certainly be true of us. You become a child of God by making a decision to become a child of God through the acceptance of the offer to be adopted as such. To those who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gives the right to be called children of God. This is the gospel in truth. This is the greatest news ever told, that no matter my brokenness, God loves me and would bring me into His family. And how many of us need to take greater comfort, even as His children, and hold fast to John's words? I think at a deep level, we all want to be children again. We want the picture of a Father that reaches for us in love. It won't let go for anything. Where we're loved and we're innocent and we're happy and we're carefree and we're secure and we're protected and life is uncomplicated and it's straightforward and simple and where we bring joy to our Father's face. I think we want that. I imagine the picture of a little boy running across a field to his father. The sky is blue. The grass is green. Dandelions are present in the picture. The wind is gently blowing. The little boy is getting closer and closer to his daddy. His arms are flailing. He's running absolutely as fast as he can. Onlookers thinking, way too much speed. There's going to be a collision. He closes in on his father. At the last moment, both arms are outstretched. His feet leave the ground. You've seen that picture too. And you can see it now probably in your mind. And in my picture, my eyes drift left to the Father, yelling to Him, urging Him, run faster. Smiling widely, eyes sparkling with delight. Come here. Run faster. I will catch you. You can see it. The father reaches and knows just what to do. Those that have been gifted with being a father with a son or daughter know what you must do. You must reach out and grab the one. Somehow managing to soften the impact by letting them come by you as a human torpedo they are. The father holds the boy, holds the little girl so softly and gently in his arms, kissing him over and over again. I love you. I love you. I love you. You are my child. The father won't let go for anything. Welcome home, dear child of God. Together we cry, Abba, Father. This is the greatest news ever told, and it's told for all to hear.